Welcome to And for Other Things, I'm Andy Oplakowski. It was the formal beginning of politics in Minnesota this week with precinct caucuses on Tuesday night. Precinct caucus is where you're able to get together with your neighbors to discuss candidates, issues, vote in a gubernatorial straw poll, and elect delegates to local conventions. Results for the caucuses were as this. Democrats, after 2 days, with still only 97% reporting, but total votes cast so far were just over 33,000 votes. Tim Walz had 30%, Rebecca Otto had just under 20%, Aaron Murphy had 13.5%, uncommitted of 13%, Mayor Chris Coleman from St. Paul at 12%, Tina Liebling at 6%, Paul Thiessen at 4.6%, and other had 0.2%. On the Republican side, there was just under 11,000 votes cast. Jeff Johnson had 45%, undecided came in at 15%, Keith Downey with 14%, Phil Parrish at 12%, and Mary Giuliani Stevens had 11%. The following interview with Mary Giuliani Stevens was recorded on the afternoon of Thursday, February 8th, 2018. Okay, joining me now is Mary Giuliani Stevens. Did I say that right? Is it Stevens?
It is, correct. Giuliani okay. Stevens, correct.
And you are the mayor of Woodbury.
That's also correct.
Good, good. So why are you running for governor?
I'm running because I have the executive experience and the track record to effectively run government and get things done. So I'm ready to leave the mayoral role and take it statewide. And I'm going to abide by the endorsement. I look into the endorsement, but I look ahead to the general election too, and who can win and who, what votes we need to get. And I'm looking ahead to that. And I think I'm the candidate that could do that.
Okay. So you are going to abide. That is one of my questions. I'll try not to double up on that later.
Oh, that's okay. No, yes. I've said repeatedly I'll abide by that.
Okay. I know with the 800-pound gorilla of Pawlenty potentially joining the race, that some people seem to be hedging their commentary or their language on that a little bit. But so if you were elected, what would the top two priorities be for you as governor?
I think the first priority would be tax reform. And more specifically for me, and I've said it repeatedly, is to get Minnesota out of the top 10 in all our major tax categories. We'll never be the lowest tax state due to our climate and quality of life, but we've got to do a lot better. Our corporate tax rate now is the second highest in the nation, and we've got to change that. So if you look at the, you know, under the Trump administration, and you look at how the federal tax reform has spurred investment and pay increases and worker bonuses, we could do that in Minnesota with tax reform.
And what was your second point?
My second priority would really be to reform the way we budget. You know, I think obviously if you're going to do tax reform on the one end, you've got to reduce expenses, save expenses, and be efficient and effective on the other side of the ledger. So I think what I'd do is I'd ask our executive agencies I'd look to performance-based budgeting. I think the thing to do is to set your priorities and then do your program funding levels based on the results from those programs, rather than simply look at what you did last year and in spending and in budgeting. Well, and I think that would bring some good change to how we budget in Minnesota.
Well, that's good. I was waiting for the second one before I asked, well, what about the spending? So at least I'm glad to see that you've done more than just say that we got to cut taxes without worrying about the spending.
Yeah, and obviously tax reform, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. So you've got to have a plan that it phases in. And, you know, you've got to have both sides of the balance sheet. Both sides of the ledger.
So would you be looking towards reduction in rates or actual reform of maybe changing, you know, going to a fair tax or a sales tax? Or how would you look, what does tax reform look like to you?
Well, I think, again, part of it's putting together a good team that you listen to on policy, not so much the specifics at this point as to where we want to go, but I think you hit on it. It's got to be simpler. It's got to be fair. We want a policy that's going to encourage business formation. We want those companies, small, medium, and large, that are our job providers now staying here. And we want to make sure that the policy helps people climb the economic ladder.
Good.
And so I think it's looking at each of those. I mean, you mentioned sales tax. I've heard from more than one person that it's kind of a gotcha tax, and it's a it's complicated, and so that's a good one to look at and say, how would you reform it?
Yep. No, I know there's quite a few people out there that'll probably jump on this with the fair tax versus flat tax. And the problem with Minnesota is we do all the taxes. These other projects work well in some states, but they don't have everything like we do. That's what makes it so tough.
And you have to look at it in context. So you can't, you're right, because we have a state tax, we have property tax, we have sales tax, individual income tax, business tax, corporate tax. And, you know, when you're looking at your tax policy, you have to start with a broader perspective.
Yeah, and that's why, what does reform mean to you? I was just circling back to that.
Yeah.
So we have precinct caucuses here Tuesday night, and we have just under 11,000 people show up. What's your reaction to the results?
I thought we'd have a bigger turnout, quite frankly, but I'm not surprised by the results. I'm pleased where I landed based on, you know, getting in just 2 months ago. And, you know, I've been out as much as I can be meeting with delegates, but clearly I have a lot of the state left to cover, and I'm really excited to get out there and meet delegates, listen to them and learn from them and keep moving forward. I think my momentum has been positive. I've continually, you know, received positive feedback, and so I'm looking forward to continuing that from now till June.
Okay. And I was going to ask, you know, I know the fundraising in Minnesota, everyone really uses that at this major kind of metric on how a candidate's doing. And everyone also has a very good spin on how they do it. You were in the race for about 2 months in the last reporting period, if I remember correctly.
I was in 1 month.
1 month. Yeah, okay.
I announced on November 29th. Yep. And then so I had December, the Christmas holiday. So the month of December.
Sure. Yeah. And I ran a special election during that time, so I know how difficult it is to get people's
attention.
You know
the holidays, don't you? Yeah. Yeah.
And the weather was about just like it was this year. I was out door knocking for that. But how has your 2018 fundraising been? Have you seen that same trend? I'm not asking for numbers. I know that's all proprietary.
Yeah, no, good. I mean, obviously, as a candidate, you need more. You want more money. You know, it helps you build your team and get the work done, but we continue to move forward on fundraising as well as, you know, building the campaign to move forward.
And do you see Pawlenty being an obstacle, or what do you think he's going to get in? And if he does, do you think he's going to even seek the endorsement jumping in this late in the game?
You know, that's obviously, it's a question everybody asks. I don't have any inside information. You know, he did announce that he's leaving his Wall Street job on the morning of precinct caucuses. So, you know, you can read into that what you will. I don't believe he's answered the question on whether he'll seek the endorsement or not. And so that's a question that has to be addressed. You know, he's been gone for, what, 8 years? With respect to me and my campaign, it doesn't change what I'm doing at all.
Okay.
So, you know, I've got the same goals, and I'm going to continue to move that direction.
Okay. So jumping across the aisle to who you would like to see as your opponent on the DFL side, is there one candidate that you think is going to win, and how do you see that helping or hurting your campaign for governor?
Actually, you know, I haven't been asked that question before, and I don't, you know, at this point, I don't know that I have somebody I would or wouldn't want to run against. You know, I'm going to continue on my message and going towards getting the endorsement, and we'll let that side play out and see who ends up with their endorsement. Although I understand a lot of them are honoring the endorsement, so they might have a big primary battle.
Yeah, they typically do.
Depending on who gets in. Yeah.
That's why they're not racing to count these straw poll votes so far.
Yeah, I see they're not all in yet even.
Well,
yeah.
That ranked choice voting that they have, you know, that can take a while.
Gets a little complicated, doesn't it?
It does. So, what are some of the things that you're hearing on the campaign trail that are something that you didn't expect, having been a mayor before, but this is your first foray into a big statewide partisan office?
You know, I'm not hearing anything new in terms of the issues. You know, as I'm traveling greater Minnesota, it depends on the region you're in, what their issue might be. So let's take mining. You know, it's still about the environment. It's still about jobs. It just might be a different types of jobs in that area. But I'm hearing, you know, I'm hearing the general consensus that people really think that under the current administration, government has grown tremendously, is very inefficient and ineffective, is intrusive, and they want to see a different direction in the leadership.
Okay. So, kind of your last question here is, you're basing your experience on being the mayor of Woodbury, and how does the city of Woodbury kind of mirror, what pros and cons can you take and use as a champion for governor?
Well, a couple of things. One, I'm proud of the business friendly culture that we've created here since I've been mayor. So we let the free market do its things, and you see pretty good results, right? So jobs are up over 17%, 2,800 new homes have been built, and over 270 new businesses have come just in the last 4 years. We weren't tracking that before, but so we've seen when you don't pick winners and losers, what happens, you see the growth. I think another thing is, when you're in a leadership role like this, you know, I think for all communities, like I said, different regions, throughout the state, but communities, in order to thrive, they need to be safe in their person and their property. So they want safe communities, good infrastructure. So the roads that we travel on, and of course the pipes that run under them, whether they're water or sewer, and what treats that sewer, and good schools and school choice. And those things lead then to home building, and they lead to economic development and job creation within the community.
Well, very good. I want to thank you for your time. I know you got a lot of work to do. You got a couple of weeks here before BPOU conventions get going, but you got a lot of planning to do.
We're going to keep working.
How can people find out more about you?
Well, I think they can go to the website, which is www.maryforMNGOV.com.
Perfect. And I'll put a link on the program show.
Appreciate it. Yep. Perfect. They can go learn more about me. Send an email if they have questions. Volunteer, send money. We want it all, need it all.
Perfect. Thank you very much for joining us, Mary Giuliani Stevens.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing you on the trail. Take care.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
You can find a link to Mary Giuliani Stevens' website on the post for this episode on andforotherthings.com. Stay tuned for more interviews and reactions to the Republican gubernatorial endorsement. If you or someone you know is running for office and would like to appear on And for Other Things, go to andforotherthings.com to find my contact information. You've been listening to And for Other Things, a podcast by Andy Aplikowski. And don't forget to subscribe via iTunes. God bless.